The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us today. The call is free, 888-346-9144, 888-346-9144. And you can keep this conversation going on Twitter. Just follow at Freddie Scott. Use the hashtag LoveAndLead. And also, don't forget, you can access the show anytime in iTunes. You can subscribe, download it to your iPhone, iPad, Android, you name it, wherever iTunes is, you can subscribe and listen to the show. And thank you once again for taking the time out to listen in today. Today we're going to be talking about, are you prepared to lead? I love this quote from Alexander Graham Bell. He says, before anything else, preparation is the key to success. And for too many men, preparation, or the lack thereof, is the key reason why marriages and families are in the shape that they're in. Making decisions on daily basis without thinking ahead and without intent and preparation will cause any marriage or family to struggle. So this week we're going to talk about, are you prepared to lead? And we're going to be giving some practical tips later on for successfully leading our families. We're also going to hear from Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy as he reveals what it was like to work with Peyton Manning and what was his weekly preparation for games. Now, how cool is that? You know, he's going to give some specific insights on, and even a tip that helped them win the Super Bowl that was a part of Peyton's preparation, in which he actually talks Coach Dungy into something. And so, again, I'm looking forward to sharing that. Now, we're also going to be hearing from USC starting quarterback Matt Barkley as he shares about his time at USC, courtesy from our friends at I Am Second. And, of course, don't forget, you can keep this conversation going. I want to hear from you throughout the call, throughout the day, so we can hear your thoughts about some of these important topics and answer any questions that you might have. Now, in the world of sports, of course, there's a lot of things going on. You have Tiger Woods that is injured. He withdrew from the WGC. You hear the trustees of Penn State saying that Coach Paterno was fired due to a lack of leadership, and I put lack of leadership in quotes. Kobe lifts the Lakers past the Celtics, and Andrew Bynum comes up big down low. And then, where is Jeremy Lin? You know, a minute ago you'd hear all this stuff, Lin this and Lin sanity. You haven't heard anything about Jeremy Lin, and actually now the Knicks have lost five in a row. And so right now I want to bring in my good friend Lamar Campbell, host of Life After the Game here on Voice America, and I love being able to hear his thoughts on different things that are going on in the world of sports and just in life. So, Lamar, thank you once again for joining us.
Hey, always a pleasure, Freddie. Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. You got March Madness that we're going to be talking about a little bit later on, but, of course, the biggest story out there is the Peyton Manning decision. And what's going on with him, and of course the Colts released him last week, and now he is probably the biggest name free agent to hit the market since probably the Reggie White era. And so what are your thoughts about Peyton playing against him, and also what you think he should do in this situation, and where do you think he's going to end up?
Well, I think, let me go so far off as, start off and say that, you know, I think anyone that was surprised the way that Peyton handled being released by the Indianapolis Colts as classy as he did, as a person that knows Peyton personally, I was not surprised at all. Peyton is a very prepared young man. Peyton has thought about this decision for a long time. He's had some talks with Jim Mesray, and Jim Mesray has made it clear that he's just in a rebuilding stage right now. So we look at the person of the capabilities of Peyton and Manning with four MVPs, of course, a Super Bowl, over 50,000 career yards passing, a career quarterback rating of 95 and a completion rating of 65%. Anyone would be a lovely to, I mean, would love to have a quarterback of that capability. And I think it was the right time for Peyton and Jim Mesray to part ways. Now you look at the possible opportunities for Peyton Manning. I know right now, currently, they're saying this morning that Arizona and Denver are in the lead to possibly land Peyton Manning. But I wouldn't count out Miami. He still lives in Miami. He still has to return to Miami once he finishes up all of his business as well. And you look at those situations, unfortunately, in Arizona, you look at Ryan Fitzgerald, which is definitely a positive. However, Kevin Colbert is not getting it done. That could be a possibility. You have a solid running game with Beanie Wells was able to return healthy from that knee injury late in the season last year. And you look at Denver. I don't think Payne wants to walk into Tebow mania. While I feel as though Payne has nothing to fear from Tim Tebow, that just doesn't seem like his type of character to walk in and try to take the spotlight. And I think, you know, honestly, John Elway's only way of getting rid of Tim Tebow without the fans turning on him. So even though they say Denver is part of the mix, I'm going to go ahead and lean towards Arizona and Miami being the final two.
Yeah, I agree with the entire scenario. Obviously, it was tough. If you saw that news conference, those of you listening in, you could tell it was emotional for both. It was not a traditional relationship between an owner and a player. You could truly see that they truly and sincerely cared for each other and cared and understood the dynamics of the situation. So this wasn't just a money thing. And I believe Mr. Irsay and when he said this wasn't about money, but at the end of the day, Mr. Irsay is running a business. And when you think about it, you know, they draft Peyton Manning, number one pick overall, and I believe they got, you know, the bang for their buck. They got a guy that was a franchise quarterback for 14 years. They got a guy that won them a Super Bowl, won a couple AFC championships, countless division titles, built a new stadium. The Colt brand is at the time, of course, as valuable as it ever has been. Remember what the Colts were like before Peyton Manning. They were a doormat.
Oh, definitely.
They were an afterthought. Marshall Faulk is great and a Hall of Fame running back as he is. He did not put the Colts on the map like Peyton Manning put them on the map. They were still just a horrible team that you know, maybe might make the playoffs. But Peyton Manning transformed that franchise. But today,
yes, he did. I mean, and you look at the monetary value that he has increased the city of Indianapolis. I assure you, I don't know the exact number, Freddie, but I think we'll both agree he leaves Indianapolis a richer city than it was before he got there, won that Super Bowl, and helped him build Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, I totally agree. We also have former Tennessee Titan Chris Sanders on the line. Thank you so much for calling in today. How are you doing today, Chris?
What's up, Hero? You doing all right?
Man, we're doing great, man. Thank you. We're talking a little Manning. Obviously, that's the biggest story out there right now. And
yeah.
Now, obviously, you played against Peyton.
Yeah.
Your days with the Titans. And in fact, this is something that has just been released. Bud Adams has come out and said that the Titans want Peyton.
Man. No. I mean, I know it's come out, but just look at the whole situation. I mean, you have Hasselbeck and Locker. In my opinion, I don't think it'll make sense because now you got a guy that you drafted last year, first round, that's going to sit two or three more years. I don't think it'll make sense.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, different owners like just getting in the media. And,
yeah, exactly.
And maybe it's just because the fans, the Tennessee fans here,
yeah,
you know, realize Peyton's available.
Exactly.
He played here in Tennessee. And so maybe he's just playing into the fans saying, hey, listen, we're not, you know, we want him too, but even though realistically that's not going to happen, maybe he's trying to take a little pressure off the team by saying at least, hey, we're interested.
Yeah, but you got to look at the whole scenario. I mean, you're talking about Peyton Manning. I mean, probably one of the best quarterbacks of all time. If the Indianapolis Colts didn't keep him, it's not about money. It's not about the $28 million. If Peyton, if the Indianapolis Colts didn't want to keep Peyton Manning, something's not right. Have we ever thought about that? Something's not right. Why would you let a guy that's one of the best quarterbacks of all time and let him go? It doesn't make sense.
That's interesting. Lamar, any thoughts on that? Is there more that Mr. Thursday and the Colts know about his health?
It's a caveat intel. You know, it's definitely a buyer beware situation.
Exactly.
You know, while Peyton Manning is definitely taking all of these visits, we've seen nothing but a homemade, seemed like what it looked like, the homemade videotape of him throwing to Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark. And
right.
I guess my question is someone that I asked this question someone last week, why isn't someone asking Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark how Peyton Manning looks? We haven't heard any quotes from those guys as well.
Ooh.
So if Jim Ezray is, and you look at what he's done, I think it was a perfect storm of the season last year with Peyton getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the situation where as of last Friday, you know, Dwight Freeney, Dallas Clark, everyone that he released last Friday, as well as the two free agents that are available, you know, you have to ask the question. All this talk about Peyton moving forward, is Peyton going to be healthy enough to play? Now, granted,
exactly.
Kids would love an 80% healthy Peyton Manning better than what they have right now, but you're going to pay that kind of money with the personality. I mean, I think Peyton's personality sells a lot more than his skill level right now, but he has yet to really throw the ball for anyone.
Exactly.
And if you're a buyer, you know, you have to have a buyer beware mentality right now.
I mean,
you listen to the Freddie Scott Show, joined by Lamar Campbell, the host of Life After the Game, and former Tennessee Titan Chris Sanders, as we're chiming in on this Peyton Manning dynamic. So, Chris, again, throwing it back to you. You think that there's a little bit more that is going on with Peyton's health?
I mean, I believe so. I mean, because, you know, when you look at the whole scenario, I mean, the doctors have said that he's okay. But just like what Lamar said, nobody's heard from Reggie Wayne or the guys that he's been throwing the ball to. So that's a big question. I mean, that's a big red flag, because the doctors can say, well, you know, his arm looks good, such and such. But when you throw the ball on the field and you're trying to read blitzes and all that stuff, it's a whole different ball game.
And here's something else to think about, too. I don't think there's ever been an entire organization, an NFL organization,
right,
that has been so totally dependent upon one player like the Colts were with Peyton. When you look at the entire coaching staff, when you look at the defensive staff, you know, the type of defense that we can play because we have Peyton, you know, all we need is some pass rushers, you know, their entire makeup, offense, defense, special teams, the types of coaches that they had there, the type of talent that they were scouting and drafting, and the types of free agents that they were getting, all of it at the end of the day centered around the center of the bullseye, which is Peyton Manning. And when there is a question on, so think about this, the amount of money that Mr. Irsay is spending wasn't just on Peyton's contract.
Mm-hmm.
The coaching budget.
Yeah.
And every other player on that roster, their value, that what I'm paying Dallas Clark is because I've got a Peyton Manning that can give him the ball. The money I'm paying Reggie Wayne, I'm able to pay that because Peyton is able to get Reggie Wayne the ball. If I don't have that type of quarterback there, those assets aren't as valuable.
You're right. I mean, it's like flying an airplane, okay? You got one pilot, and there's passengers on the plane. So wherever the pilot goes or wants to go, everybody else has to go. And that's the same thing with the team. Peyton Manning ran that team. I mean, basically they didn't even need an offensive coordinator because he knew the game. And once he knew, with him knowing the game, he managed the game, they made big plays, and then the defense, all they had to do was bend, not break. So, you know, he's one of those guys that you need on your team, because if you don't have a guy like that, you can't go anywhere.
Lamar, parting thoughts, and getting ready to go to break. Parting thoughts on this Manning drama and your prediction of where he's going to go.
I still think Miami is in the lead.
Yeah.
I still think Miami is in the lead. You look at Jake Long, who's going to be a perennial Pro Bowl tackle to protect Peyton Manning's backside for years to come. You think about when you hear out there that he may actually bring Reggie Wayne with him. Reggie Wayne is, of course, a University of Miami guy. So he's going to be looking forward to go back to Miami. You have Reggie Bush. You have Brandon Marshall. You have a young defense that is scrappy.
Mm.
I think that, you know, Miami's going to be the best fit for Peyton. It's the warm weather. And let's not forget, gentlemen, no state tax in Florida. So when paying taxes goes checks, he'll be a lot richer than most everybody else with no state tax.
That's good stuff.
And you think it's a joke. Trust me. When you're getting paid, you know, $30, $40, $50 million, and you're talking about automatically off the top, you know, whatever percentage is not coming home just because there's a state tax versus that money is in my pocket and I can invest it
good
and do whatever
point,
else I want to do.
Good point.
You better believe
and
that
it's more.
Is part of the factor. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. When we come back, Chris and I will still be here.
Yes, sir.
Giving you some parting thoughts on the Peyton Manning. We've got NCAA Madness, March Madness going on. You don't want to miss the rest of the show. And we'll be talking about, are you prepared to lead at home? We'll be right back after this.
It's all right by me.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Again, this is your show, America. Thank you again for joining us. Today we're talking about, are you prepared to lead at home, preparation to lead at home? And we're going to be hearing from Super Bowl-winning coach Tony Dungy as he talks about Peyton Manning's preparation for games, great insight, and even a tip in which he shares how Peyton even convinced him to do certain things in his preparation that helped them win the Super Bowl. We're also going to be hearing from starting USC quarterback Matt Barkley later on in the show as he talks about his time there at USC, and that's courtesy from our friends at I Am Second. Don't forget to make sure you keep this conversation going on Twitter. Submit any questions or feedback that you have to @FreddieScott and use the hashtag #LoveAndLead. As we love to hear from you and make sure that we're answering your questions. And the call is free. If you have questions, feedback, anything, go ahead. You can join us on the air live at 888-346-9144. We've been joined by Chris Sanders now as we're still talking about this Peyton Manning dynamic. We're going to get into a little bit of this NCAA March Madness. But, Chris, you had something else during the break. You had something else you wanted to share about this whole Peyton Manning dynamic. And you really believe that maybe the Colts still know a little bit more than what they may be leading on.
I think they do. I mean, because just like what we were talking about, if you have a healthy Peyton Manning, I don't care if it takes $100 million to keep that guy. You got to keep that guy because just like, you know, flying an airplane, you got to have a pilot, and that guy leads the charge on that team. So there's something behind closed doors that we don't know. And I'm not speculating. I'm not creating rumors or anything. But you're not going to let a Peyton Manning go. I don't care if it's $28 million, $100 million. You keep that guy because he runs the ship.
Yeah, I can understand what you're saying. And, you know, I can see the business side. On the business side, there's a term called diminishing returns to where,
right.
You know, you've already invested, you know, how much money into something. If you continue to invest that, are you going to be able to get the same result back, or at least get your money back?
Right.
And so, and at the time that they signed Peyton to the, at the time, the biggest contract in the NFL, Mr. Irsay made sure that he was going to get paid more than Tom Brady. You know, at the time, it was deserving. You know, had he not gotten injured, you know, we're not even talking about this. He is still an Indianapolis Colt and would be an Indianapolis Colt.
Whoa, say that again. If he wasn't what?
If he wouldn't have gotten injured.
See, that's the key between him, if he wouldn't have got injured, into now. See, that's where the gray area is at, because he still must be injured.
Yeah, there's got to be whatever the injury is.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be enough uncertainty for them to say we're passing.
Wow.
That's something that can't be overlooked.
Right.
Yeah, you have the number one pick.
Yeah.
So what? The Rams had the number two pick, and they went ahead and traded it and got three number ones and number two, and, you know, they're restocking.
Yep.
So the issue isn't, we have the number one pick and we have to pick Andrew Luck.
Uh-huh.
No, that's not the case.
Yep.
If you have a Peyton Manning that you believe is your guy,
mm-hmm.
well, guess what? We just got lucky by having the number one pick, because there's other teams that want this pick.
Mm-hmm.
They want this guy. We can trade out of the number one pick, and we can restock the deck for
Peyton.
That's
a great, great point. I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, that's perfect, exactly what you said. I mean, if Peyton Manning is your quarterback, I don't care if you have three number one draft picks, you're not going to get a quarterback because you already got a stallion in the coop. You know what I'm saying? You already got a stallion. You don't need anything else. So I would trade. If they was to keep Peyton Manning, I would trade down and get a receiver, because, you know, they probably need a couple more receivers. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's sort of like when you're married. You know, when you find the woman that you love,
right?
And I'm committed to you for the rest of. It doesn't matter if a Victoria's Secret swimsuit model walks by. You know, I'm off the market,
right.
Unavailable. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for a replacement. That's my girl. That's my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't matter what other opportunities show up, because I'm already settled. I'm fine.
Wow.
And so obviously, what the Colts are saying is that relationship isn't settled.
Whoa, see,
it's not fine.
Exactly.
And I need to look at some other options.
Exactly.
And so, yeah,
you know,
I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think there's a set timetable for when this is going to be resolved. So definitely just Schefter and the guys from ESPN and NFL Network, everybody's trying to get the inside scoop. Peyton is a very private person.
Yeah.
And so don't be surprised. In fact, and I'm looking here at just different possible scenarios. Of course, according to sources, they're saying the Dolphins and the Broncos and the Cardinals are the top contending teams. But let's just sort of break this down in the AFC. In the AFC West, you've got the Broncos, which of course he just visited. You've got the Chargers, which the Manning family have been insistent on, we will never play with the Chargers.
Yeah.
If you draft us, you better trade us. And so you know he's not going to San Diego.
Yeah, but why would you go to San Diego? Why would they even consider San Diego, though? I mean, when you got Rivers.
I don't think they would, but I don't think Peyton would even want to go there, even if they were interested. You've got the Raiders, who are rebuilding, and so they're a cellar dweller. There's no way he's going to go there.
Right.
The Chiefs have expressed interest, but I don't think it's reciprocal. You got the Jaguars, who are rebuilding.
Right.
The Titans, who just drafted a first-round draft pick, and he had Hasselbeck, who played well.
Right.
You've got Houston Texans in conference. But they've got Matt Schaub. Could that be a team? They've got a strong running game. They play at the indoor/outdoor stadium, Reliant Stadium, right down down there. Good field turf.
Right.
Good solid defense. Won the conference last year.
Right.
Probably could have gone even deeper in the playoffs.
Right.
just food for thought.
Uh-huh.
There's no way he's going to the Browns. No way
no.
he's going to the Bengals. You got the Steelers who have Roethlisberger. You got the Ravens. Ravens who just hired his old head coach, Jim Caldwell,
wow.
is now the quarterback coach with the Baltimore Ravens.
Wow.
Would but he go to the Ravens?
Heck no.
Team up with Ray Lewis
no.
for a couple years and sit Flacco.
If you come out of retirement, they'll take you before they get Peyton Manning. If you came out of retirement.
All right. I don't see him going to Buffalo,
no.
outdoors, cold, not really ready.
Uh-huh.
You got the Dolphins, of course, we've talked
yeah,
about.
Maybe.
The Jets.
No.
Rex Ryan.
No. They argue every other play.
And, of course, New England already has Tom
no.
Brady, so that's not going anywhere. So, you know, in the AFC, even though you might have a lot of teams interested,
right.
you know, I really don't see a lot of fits outside
no.
of the Broncos if you just happen to choose them
right.
and the Dolphins.
Right. I know you're saying the AFC and everything, but I think he's going to Arizona. You know, I a lot of people are saying Miami, which is great. But, man, but look at the weapons he can throw to. I mean, you got Fitzgerald and you got Breston and guys like that that he can throw to just like what he had with the Colts. So, and then also they have a good running game. So I think that, you know, Arizona might be a great fit for him.
I agree. Now let's sort of transition a little bit into we've got March Madness coming up.
Oh my goodness!
Your guys from The Ohio State University
just
got
State
a number
it?
2 seed. We're not going to talk about Penn State's basketball team. We understand that our team.
You guys gave it your all. That's all that matters.
So here we go in the East bracket. I printed off the bracket here, and I'm going to sort of go here. And fill it in, but I want to sort of, let's fill out this bracket
okay.
together, and those of you listening, go ahead, I would love to hear from you, who's going to be the Cinderella, who, there's always
yeah.
that team that just sort of pops up out of nowhere, you know, you listen to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, as families grow, and it's March Madness time, the one time a year we can just sort of fill out the bracket. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of office pools and stuff going on, so in the East, Chris, you got Syracuse as the 1 seed.
Uh-huh.
Ohio State is the 2 seed.
Ooh.
So you're going to have Syracuse versus UNC Asheville, the 1 versus the 16, I think.
Oh, that's scary.
I don't think a number 1 seed has lost, and so in all my brackets, I'm automatically having every number 1 seed win.
Uh-oh.
And, if I'm wrong there's something really wrong. All right, so, but your Buckeyes.
Come on.
They're playing Loyola, and you feel confident that they're not going to get upset there?
You know what? That's dangerous. That's a dangerous game, and I don't know anything about the team that you just said. I don't never heard of them. I'm just being honest. I never heard of them. But it's one of those trap games. You got number 2 going against the 16 seed. Everybody's going to pick Ohio State. What's the team called again? Loyola? Who are they called?
Loyola.
That sounds like some corn oil or something. I don't know. Some kind of... I don't know. But
now, anyone that might be an alum,
you're probably
making some alumni really upset because they're there in Maryland and
okay.
they're very excited about making the tournament and they don't want to be overlooked because if they win, they will either have to play Gonzaga
uh-huh.
or West Virginia.
Yeah, but they can't get mad, though, because I'm picking them. That's what I'm saying.
You're picking.
I'm picking them. That's see. They can't get mad because it's
you're
one of those traps
to lose in the first round.
It's one of those trap games because they're going to come in, and I just don't want Ohio State to come in and be like, "Well, we're the number 2 seed. We're going against 16 and all that crazy stuff." And this team is hungry. That's a scary scenario. I'm just being honest with you. That is
all right. All right. So then. Out of this bracket, you got Syracuse. You got Ohio State losing.
You got Florida State
that won the ACC tournament, knocking off Duke and North Carolina. Do you see Florida State being able to? And then you also have this is a deep bracket.
Florida State's gonna win that bracket.
All right, so you have FSU. Mm-hmm. Now here you go. Who else is in the bracket? you're probably going to have probably the smartest game in the NCAA history. You're going to have Vanderbilt playing Harvard. Mm-hmm. These kids probably have perfect scores in the SAT and ACT. Vanderbilt versus Harvard, they're probably going to be doing all types of calculations on...
They might do a math problem.
What are the statistics on, you know, the probability of us being able to win and all that stuff. So Vanderbilt, real talk, Vanderbilt has had a great season. I think that their position, they historically have had difficulty getting out of the first round, but I see sort of Vandy coming out of it. And so let's go ahead and just quickly, you got Syracuse losing to Florida State later on in the bracket.
Oh, yeah.
Florida State.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's go to the Midwest. You got UNC as a one seed. You've got Kansas as a two seed. Mm. Georgetown's a three. Michigan is the four. This is a weak bracket. UNC or Kansas coming out the bracket?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I'll just say UNC because they're the number one seed.
All right. When we come back after the break, we're going to do the South bracket, the West bracket. We're going to hear from Coach Dungy as he talks about Peyton Manning's preparation, and you still have USC starting quarterback Matt Barkley going to talk about his time at USC. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America. Today, a little bit later, we're going to be talking about preparation to lead, and are you really prepared to lead your family? We've been talking earlier on, had Lamar Campbell, host of Life After the Game, on the show, as we're talking about the entire Peyton Manning drama. We've been joined for the past few segments with Chris Sanders, former Tennessee Titan, has been talking about Manning, of course, March Madness now. So let's finish out these last little brackets here. In the West, you got Michigan State as the one seed, Missouri as the two seed. Other names in this bracket, you got Marquette as a three, Louisville, which is always dangerous, as a four, New Mexico as a five, You know, Murray State is a six. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to see who could be a team that could be a Cinderella, because every bracket gets busted.
Yeah.
Somebody always. You got Memphis playing St. Louis as a 8-9 team. Now, that's a good battle, though. I don't know which is a better battle, though. The Memphis St. Louis game in basketball,
ooh,
or the Memphis St. Louis barbecue rib competition.
I'm going with the ribs.
I think if you got some Memphis, some great folk in Memphis to throw down some, with some, yeah, barbecue ribs, and then the great folk from St. Louis bring, yeah, some of their ribs, man, I think I'd rather go to that than if,
man,
you see the basketball game.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Freddie. What's the team that nobody talks about all during the season, but in the tournament they're always in the Final Four, in the eight?
Well, in the past, Gonzaga has,
yeah,
been one of those teams. Xavier in the,
yeah,
past has put on,
yeah,
great runs. Davidson,
yeah,
is slipped in there and knocked some folk out.
Yeah.
there's always that team,
yeah,
you know, that's
right, going
to slide in there and, yep, upset somebody and crush
always
somebody's dream.
Every
and so
year.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Michigan State to come out this bracket, even though I know there's going to be upsets between there. I think that they're just playing fundamental, great, solid basketball, peaking at the right time of the season, and I'm going to pick them to come out. In the next bracket, this is probably going to be probably one of the more competitive brackets,
yeah,
of the South. You've got Kentucky, mm, as the one seed and Duke as the two,
ooh,
seed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That could have been a final.
Man,
you know, but
real,
the way they did it, though, they have Duke and UNC in two separate brackets so that if they ended up playing against each other, it would be in the finals.
Ooh. Oh, I don't know, man. That's why I play football. I don't know. I'm serious, man. I'm not gonna act,
yeah,
like an expert and be like, "Well, that's
I think you're gonna be into some really good games here."
Man, I can't tell you. I mean, I'm at a loss of words because I don't know who's gonna come out of there. I don't.
We've got a little time before you have to fill your brackets,
okay,
out. You can go online, fill out your brackets. I'm sure plenty of you already are doing it online on different things, but just enjoy it. But I want to segue a little bit. There's this guy at USC named Matt Barkley, is their starting quarterback there, decided to stay there on campus in spite of the sanctions against the school, which really says a lot about him. I mean,
yeah,
Chris, I know The Ohio State University is known for breaking violations with the NCAA all the time, right? And no, I'm messing with you. If you were there,
uh-huh,
say during your time there at Ohio State,
uh-huh,
you know, something happened beyond your control, and now all of a sudden there's sanctions,
right,
and you decide not, you know, you decide to stay there,
uh-huh,
even though you can't play in a bowl,
yep,
game. You know, that's not, I mean, especially the bowl game is pretty much all you have to look forward,
yeah,
to.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows you this guy's character. I mean, because when he signed his scholarship, he signed to play there for 3 or 4 years, and that's what he did. He could have easily transferred and said, I want to do this, this, and this, but he took himself out the equation and said, you know what, I'm going to do what's best for the university. And I tell you what, that speaks higher than anything, because a lot of people are going to remember him for being a great, great football player, but they're also going to remember him staying when the tough times got hard.
Well, let's hear directly from him. Here is Matt Barkley talking about his time at USC and what his legacy is going to be like on campus,
nice,
courtesy from our friends at IM Second.
It's awesome because kids have come up to me or texted me that they do notice something different about me, whether it's just how I'm always smiling, always happy. Even coaches have wondered, you know, what's unique about you? And when you get asked that what is it? It can be a little intimidating at first. And all these things that have been happening in my circumstance with the University of Southern California, with our sanctions not being able to play in a bowl game, our head coach leaving and all these things that have happened, people have wondered, you know, why haven't you freaked out? Why haven't you left? Why haven't you transferred? But as much as football defines me by this world, it doesn't define who I am as a person. I love playing football, but I'm definitely not the best athlete on the field. Since I was little, I had a John Elway poster up in my room. Always wanted to play quarterback. I think God gives talents differently to different people, and He'll use those talents in different ways. God has really given me a mind to comprehend different things, and it has helped me on the football field of seeing angles, seeing the ways that plays develop, seeing defenders move in a certain manner where I know where they're going to be. But it's 11 men, every snap, doing the exact right thing to make a play work. I know I'm not in control. God's working a huge plan right here. And I think if you stay true to yourself and you work hard and you put that work in, then it's going to pay off. I have definitely seen the power of prayer in my life in a lot of areas. In our crazy life, in this society, when there's so many things going on, so many different areas that can pull you to different things, is finding peace and quiet to be able to talk to God is something I found that can be very rewarding. And it's just like any relationship that you have with a friend. If you want to get to know them, if you want to grow closer to them, you have to spend time with them. And I think by getting closer to Christ, you just have to talk to them, and that's through prayer. Being a Christian at my school is special because there aren't too many. USC has the most international students of any school in the world. And so there's people from every walk of life that you can imagine, from all over the world. And it's been neat to see over the last couple years since I've been there, a movement of college students grow to love God and to follow Him more closely. And we know that God is in control. I absolutely think God has placed me where I am and made me the person who I am to be in the position where I am and the platform that I have as the USC starting quarterback is something that I've always dreamed about playing football and being that guy. But only recently have I realized the power of that position. And to see the USC quarterbacks of the past and how they've grown up and the influence that they've had on people. And now that I'm in that same position, how can I use that for God's kingdom? I think leaving my mark at USC, not only as a football player, but as a man of God who brought USC through troubled times and relied on God and trusted in Him to make things happen, I think will be better than any game we could ever win. My name is Matt Barkley, and I am Second.
Again, we want to thank our friends at I Am Second for sharing that powerful story from Matt Barkley, talking about a wide range of things, about his time there at USC, about what his legacy, what he believes his legacy will be there on campus, dealing with the sanctions, talking about his faith, and what's really important to him. And that really just speaks volumes about the type of leadership that he is exemplifying there at USC. And then, of course, we could sort of pull some of those things as far as the types of leadership that we should be expressing in our own homes. And so, yeah. Chris, I want to ask this question to you.
Sure.
We have a minute before we go to this next break here,
okay.
But we're going to be talking about leadership in the home after we come out of the break and hear from Coach Dungy. But
okay.
When you talk about your legacy, and the legacy you're going to leave for your home and for your wife mm-hmm. and for your kids, you know, what are some of the things that come to mind as far as some of the things that you're trying to do in your life to leave that type of legacy when they think of you after you're gone?
Okay. You know, you look at the word leadership. Before you can ever lead, you always have to follow. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5:1, it says, follow Christ as a much-loved child imitates his father. So what I want to do is I want to imitate the father on how I love, on how I keep my word, and how I walk in integrity. So now when my kids see me, they'll do the same thing. So that's how I kind of handle it.
Man, that's powerful.
I didn't mean to get off feature, but there it is.
Concise, but powerful. Leadership,
really is following.
Following, yes.
Wow. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. When we come back after the break, we're going to be hearing from Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy talk about Peyton Manning's preparation, and then we'll be giving some tips on specific things that we can do as men to be prepared to lead at home. You listen to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
One of the questions I get all the time now that I'm not coaching is, what is Peyton Manning really like? What makes him so special? Why is he such a good player? And Peyton Manning is talented. He works hard. But the thing that really separates Peyton from most anybody I've been around as a player is his preparation. He never goes into a game where he's not fully prepared. He believes that if you're prepared and you know what to do, you're going to have a high chance for success out there. His preparation is really legendary. It starts early in the week, taking video home, watching the other team, coming into practice, doing everything like it's going to be done in the game, and then Friday really having that dress rehearsal, doing everything exactly the way he wants it. I'll give you one example, though, of great preparation that really paid off for us. We were playing Super Bowl 41 against the Bears, and Peyton, during the course of those 2 weeks of preparation, watched every game that the Bears played that year, 16 regular season games and their two playoff games. So he'd watched 18 games of the Bears before we played. He also had Jim Sorgi, our backup quarterback, watch the four preseason games and then report back to him in case they used the defense in the preseason that they didn't use in the regular season. So that's the type of preparation that separates him from the crowd and what makes him such a great player. And also, maybe the most amazing thing about his preparation, he was listening to the weather reports and heard that it might rain that day and that we ought to practice sometime during the week with wet footballs. And I said, Peyton, you're crazy. I live in Florida. If it rains, it's going to rain for 20 minutes and then stop. There's no need to practice with wet balls. He talked me into it. We practiced with wet balls, and sure enough, it rained the whole game.
That That was Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy sharing in the Dungy Diaries, sharing, talking about Peyton Manning's preparation. Of course, with everything going on with Peyton and the decision that the Colts made and the decision he's going to have to make with what team he's going to pick, I just felt like that was a great, great insight into him. But then also something else, something that Coach Dungy talked about that made Peyton Manning so special and makes him so special was his preparation. That even though he's physically gifted, he has a strong arm, and he loves the game, it doesn't just happen on Sunday. It doesn't just happen because he's the quarterback. It doesn't just happen because that's the position that he has. He's able to do what he does week in and week out because of the preparation that he does between the games. At the end of the game, you know, watching the old game film, seeing how I can do better, and then preparing yourself for the next opponent, watching the game film, getting the tendencies of the opponent, and being ready to go in and engage and do your job. Now, when you think about that, we understand preparation when it comes to work and to business and to sports, but do we have that same type of mentality when you talk about preparation at home? Do we think of ways in which I can be a better leader, where I can perform at a higher level in the position that I have as the husband to my wife, as a wife to my husband, as the father or mother to my child? And all of us can truly grow in our ability to lead better. I love a couple of these quotes here. Joe Gibbs, Super Bowl winning coach, said, "A winning effort begins with preparation." Jack Youngblood, he's a Hall of Fame linebacker, used to play at the Rams, said, "Good luck is the residue of preparation." You know, are we preparing ourselves and positioning our families to allow the ball to bounce the right way? Edwin Moses, you know, track and field giant, he says, "I never struggled with injury problems because of my preparation, in particular, my stretching." Now, let's use that as an analogy real quick. He said, "I never was injured. My career, I was able to do the things I was able to do successfully, win gold medals, because I took the time in preparation and to stretch." Now, just think about our relationships at home for a second. How many of us are inflexible with our wives and with our children? And because of that inflexibility, it causes us to not be able to have the relationship, the depth of relationship, the sincerity, the love, the passion, all the things that we want in our home, but because typically we're inflexible, it causes things to get a little tight, causes things to be a little rough, and sometimes it causes the relationship to get to the point to where it feels like, you know what, this just is not going to work because I'm tense, you're tense, I'm not flexible with you, you're not flexible with me. And you know what? For some people, they make a decision to, you know what? I need to just go my own way. Well, if we just take some of these lessons of preparation from sports and apply them to our own families, guess what? Our family life is going to be that much more successful. So think about these parting thoughts as we close today's show. Peyton talked about he had film study. He would identify the tendencies of the people that he was playing against so that he was prepared for it. He wasn't surprised when a team showed a blitz because he knew that was their tendency. He wasn't surprised when, you know, the defensive secondary is going to make an adjustment. He was prepared for it. So then we shouldn't be surprised when someone acts or behaves in their tendency. We should study our spouses. What are they typically like? When they work all day, you know, what's their typical mood? You know, and so when someone acts in their typical tendency, it shouldn't catch us off balance. We should be prepared for it, and because we're prepared for it, we can respond in a more proactive, more productive way, so that way that doesn't cause something that hurts, but actually we can actually be in a position to be able to help them and make sure our relationships continue to grow and thrive. Know your strengths. Identify what you do well and continue to grow and develop those things, because guess what? if you don't continue to allow your strength and develop your strength at some point can become a weakness. So identify and think about, what are the things that I do well? Is it communication? Is it my love? Am I, whatever it is that you do well, identify those things and continue to work on those. But while you're working on those, also do this. Know your weaknesses. If you don't identify your weaknesses to identify what are the things that I need to continue to develop, Peyton knows I'm not Michael Vick. I can't run. I can't scramble. So you know what? I better stay in this pocket and know what I need to do. Well, if that's you, you need to identify what are the things that I'm weak in. What am I vulnerable in? You know, do I need to cut off do I need to not be on the internet? You know, are there certain things on the internet that it's a weakness for me, and so I need to cut those things off because that's impacting my relationship with my wife or with my children? You know, a quick rule of thumb is if what you're looking on the internet can't be viewed by you and your wife and child, you shouldn't be looking at it. Outside interferences. Peyton, Coach Dungy talked about the fact that he looked at the weather report, saw that it was going to rain, convinced them to practice with wet balls, and of course we know if you watch that Super Bowl, rain the entire Super Bowl in Florida, and that is unheard of. But he looked at what are some outside interferences that could keep me from doing my job as successfully. Well, for some of you, it might be your in-laws. It might be previous relationships or previous marriages. What are outside interferences that could be and are impacting your relationship with your wife and with your children? And what do you need to do to protect yourself, protect your wife, protect your children, to make sure that those outside interferences don't continue to hinder what you really desire to do? Last point, don't believe the hype. In sports, we're always conditioned to not look at, read your own news clippings. Because regardless of how well you've done in the past, the only reason why you're successful in the past is because of the hard work and preparation that you put into it. So, don't believe the hype. Regardless of what you've done yesterday, last year, 5 years ago, realize today is a new opportunity to successfully love and lead your family by having some real preparation and identifying your strengths, your weaknesses, the opportunities that you have. Until next week, we'll be right here again. This is Freddie Scott reminding you to love and lead your family, and lead your family with preparation. See you next week.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
All right, bye.